You're listening to Grace Williams on ABC Radio across the country. I was recently reading an article about this non-for-profit dance organization that teaches women in prison how to dance, and that helps them work through their trauma. Dance is not just a fun thing, it's actually really good for healing. Julia Kirkwood works in a psychiatric facility, facilitating weekly dance movement therapy sessions in inpatient and outpatient programs. Her areas of specialty are complex trauma in adult survivors of child abuse. Juliet is passionate about the relationship between moving and healing. Juliet, how did you and when did you first start dancing?
Hi, Grace. It's lovely to meet you. I think I was very, very young. So I probably started dancing when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and that was in the form of Arabic belly dancing. So that's how I was introduced to the field of dance.
Why Arabic belly dancing, if you don't mind me asking? That seems very unconventional. It wasn't like ballet or jazz ballet. It was just, oh, I'm going to be a, yeah, I'm going to
no,
do
no,
that.
No. It's because I am Arabic, and and it just came naturally to me. So that's how I started out my dance journey. And then after a while, belly dancing became too limited, and then I went into free-form expressive dance.
And what type of free-form expressive dance? Are we talking contemporary?
Well, improvisation. So it really, there is, beneath our culture, we are human beings. And so I went deeper than just what my cultural heritage was. I wanted to know what it is to move as a human being. So I let go of all my cultural conditioning. I let go of everything that I had learned. So I became a human dancing rather than an Arabic girl dancing.
Oh, that's so powerful. Why do you love to dance as a human and not just as a specific identity of a human?
Well, because, you know, I am by nature an explorer of consciousness, and dancing as a one particular culture felt limiting to me, and I was very curious about human beings and the human condition. So I wanted to know what it was like to embody the human condition, not just the Arabic condition. So I found it to be incredibly grounding and healing, and it just expanded my world.
Juliet, what happens to our brain when we dance?
Okay, so it really does depend on whether you're talking about a dance class and a choreography where you're following a teacher and you're being taught a particular move, or whether you are just expressing and creating from the inside out. And the area that I specialize in is the second, where I help people create from the inside out and express what is going on deep within them. Because you see, the body is connected to the subconscious. As we all know through body language, the body doesn't lie and it communicates what's going on in your subconscious mind. So as a dance movement therapist, I take that further and I work with the nonverbal communication and with the nonverbal language, which is an indication of what's going on in somebody's subconscious mind.
When you meet a client for the first time, is it a little bit weird for them when you're trying to explain this language of dance and the subconscious? Do they find it a bit weird that you know, they can dance out their subconscious, you know, through their body?
You know, most people are quite open to the idea. You know, once we start talking about the concept and how it works and what it means, and usually when people come to therapy, it's because they are trying to work through something. And they've usually tried everything else and they haven't had success in other modalities. So they come to me because they want to try something different. They want something that, you know, will work. And it's proven to be extremely powerful, really powerful.
So obviously your specialty is trauma. So you would be dealing with people that have experienced quite a lot of trauma. And I was wondering, what effect does trauma have on the body?
Well, it's really fantastic what all the latest neuroscience is showing us. That in my opinion, unresolved trauma and chronic stress happen when we place ourselves outside the laws of nature. We have an intrinsic, inbuilt stress-regulating system that, if it's interrupted, and we have the capacity to interrupt this system, that it remains unresolved. So trauma, people experience trauma. The problem happens is when that trauma is not allowed to continue its cycle and resolve itself, when that process is interrupted. And, yes, sorry, go ahead.
No, so you were talking about, you know, the natural way of doing things, which would be the ideal way, so the ideal way where we regulate that. What is that ideal that, you know, you're aiming to achieve or get to through dance first? Like,
The ideal way is that I help people to become more aware of their body, because that is how we gauge our environment. So we have a nervous system, and I suppose I do need to go a little bit into the science here. So our nervous system, it works in two ways. So our stress response system can either be activating or it can be calming. And the activating is, you know, when we are in fight, flight, when we're under a lot of stress, when we feel unsafe, then our nervous system is working in the sympathetic mode, which is the activating mode, and that's our survival mechanism. And the other mode is the parasympathetic mode, which is when we are feeling safe, then we are calm and we heal and we rest and digest and we mate. So the key, though, is safety, is whether we feel safe or not. And the way we gauge our safety in our environment is through our sensory system, so through the senses. If somebody is in their head and they're disconnected from their body and they're not really aware of the signals, or not listening to the signals that they're getting from their body, then they cannot gauge that they are actually safe and it's okay. It's not something that you can talk yourself into. You can't sort of tell yourself, oh, I'm safe, it's okay, I can, you know, I can be okay now, it's okay for this system to restore itself and to go into the calm mode. Yeah, so I teach people to become aware of their sensory system and to learn how to listen to the information that they're getting through their body, and which informs the mind that they're safe, and then it allows them to go into the parasympathetic mode. Which is calming and healing, and then they rest and digest, and you know, it's a very complicated process. It's quite in-depth. But in a few words, basically, that's what it is.
And if somebody has, I mean, from what I understand of what you just said, trauma is bottled up. It's like something that sticks within your nervous system that hasn't had the process, you know, to be, you know, digested. So it's kind of like you playing a broken record over and over and over and over again through your nervous system.
Exactly.
And so how is it that people break that cycle and return to this calmness and this awareness through dance? What is the process that you engineer for them?
So like you said, it's true that when somebody is in their head, they're in the story, and the thoughts they keep repeating, and so it just keeps like a broken record. It's like Groundhog Day. So they keep, it's like a broken record. It keeps going on and on and on, and they're stuck. And when it comes to trauma, the issue is in the tissue. So in terms of healing the trauma, we need to get out of the head and into the body. So they need to get back into their senses. And so I have a way in which I work with people that is a very simple and easy way to help them to get out of their head and into their senses, become more sensible, and allow the process, which is a natural process. So our body knows what to do. We don't actually have to do anything. Really, what I'm teaching people is to just get out of the way, really, of your inbuilt, natural, inherent healing system, and to just allow it to do what it needs to do. The body knows what it needs to do. We don't have to direct it. All we need to do is just allow it. So it's a surrendering process rather than a controlling process.
I was going through quite a bad breakup and my best friend was like, here's this YouTube link to this song, just play it really loud and just dance it out and cry.
Yes.
And I did, and it helped. It helped so much. And I'm wondering if your clients experience like physical and mental liberation when they dance like I did.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the first phase. So they very much feel a shift in their state. And when you combine movement with breath and sound, those three elements together are extremely transformational and powerful when you're talking about state shifting. So when somebody is stuck and they can't seem to get out of that stuckness, then I will work with the elements of movement, breath and sound to help them shift that state. And then it gets the energy moving, and then it gets things start happening, and then I help them make the connections between what they're feeling in their body and what it means to them in their subconscious and what's really going on and why they are experiencing the problems that they are experiencing.
Yeah. In Australia, I wouldn't say that our culture is very, like, liberated when it comes to dance. In fact, I think dancing is associated with alcohol consumption.
Unfortunately,
just wondering, like, how can we disassociate the two? How can we say, no, dance is actually something you do as an embodied, fully embodied, liberated person. You don't actually have to be drunk to do it. How do we disassociate the two and encourage more dance in our lives?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, like, I'm always advocating for expressive movement to be a part of our culture. Now, we in this country in particular, we're quite disconnected from our body, and we actually have an inherent distrust of the body. And it's an attitude. When you look at the indigenous cultures of the world, not just in Australia with the Aboriginal people, but all over the world, in Africa, in South America, dance is a big part of their ceremonial life.
Yeah.
So dance plays an important role in their spirituality and in their emotional development, in their initiations, and in really important, celebrating important times of the year and important transitions in life. So, you know, the ancient indigenous cultures can teach us a lot about how to be embodied and how to actually tap into the wisdom of our body. And our body has inherent wisdom. That's why I called my little business Embody Wisdom, because it's all about helping people embody the wisdom that is inherent and innate in all of us as human beings. But in Australia, I think, you know, we're moving very, very slowly. There is a culture of, it's more sports orientated and it's more head down. The communication is from the head down to the body. There's not much communication from the body up to the head because it's supposed to be a two-way street. So when we look at the polyvagal theory and the vagus nerve, they're finding that the vagus nerve is the information superhighway which links the body and the mind, and there's information up and down. So the body, the information comes through the senses and it goes up through the vagus nerve, informs the mind of what the world is, how the world is around us. And then the mind also sends information through the vagus nerve down through to the body. But in this country, it's a one-way street.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. And that's what we're battling with. And I think that this is most unfortunate because the mind is about the will and the body is about motion and movement and surrender. And so, you know, it's about reality. It's about the here and now. It's what's going on here and now. The body doesn't lie.
Yeah.
So without the body, our will, we don't know where we're going. We're misguided.
Mm.
So, you know, we need our will to be guided by reality, which is the information we're getting through the body.
Yeah, and we need to be more synchronized. Thank you so much, Juliet Kirkwood, for that amazing conversation.
It's my pleasure.